Hello, product innovators. Today we learn how to expand your product to new types of customers from a co-founder who used this strategy to grow to over $150 million per year in sales.
This is the Product Startup Podcast, a show to learn from top leaders in hardware product development, prototyping, manufacturing, product selling, and everything in between. Hosted by Kevin Macko, the leading expert on product development for hardware startups.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm very excited to introduce Danny Angers to the show. Danny is one of the co-founders at Fosker Cameras, a company that in just 5 years has grown to over $150 million in sales in 45 countries with over 2 million devices sold. Today, Danny will share valuable knowledge from vendors, startups, and small manufacturers on how to take customer feedback from your first product so that you can expand to many other customer groups you did not even know existed. Now, onto the episode.
This show is produced by Macko Design, the original firm providing end-to-end consumer product development services tailored specifically to hardware startups, small manufacturers, and inventors. Take your product from idea to store shelves at MackoDesign.com. Now, on to the episode.
Hi, Danny. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kevin. Nice to have the chance to work with you today.
Well, we're looking forward to talking to you today about scaling your product through new customer verticals. And your story is really interesting about how you grew Fosker to literally selling millions of units in 40 plus countries around the world. Before we get into all those details on best practices and some of the techniques and tricks you use to take your original product and then expand it 15x, before we get into all that, just give us a bit of a backstory of how you became the success story that you are today.
Yeah, well, the story started with me and my two other co-founder. We had the previous business where we were selling devices, and we took these devices and brought the cellular connectivity to those said hardware. And then we listened to the client and sort of saw use cases that we didn't even knew the client were using our product line to do or to work with. So that's how the story started for Fosker.
Yeah, that's amazing. And tell everyone a bit about what the product is. Like, what did it start at?
Yeah.
And then we'll get into some of the tactics that you use to listen to the customers and really expand your product. Because a lot of the hardware startups listening to the show start with their first product. I mean, that is the right way to start a hardware product. Start with an MVP version, a really well-designed, engineered, manufactured first version of your core idea and your core technology. But from there, you guys were able to take that and just make explosive growth from that. So I want to go through those steps. So just talk big picture. First of all, what does it mean to take one technology or product and then expand into new customer verticals?
Yeah, well, when you start from the client, it's easier to expand into new vertical because they're the one who are going to tell you like, look, your product is great for doing XYZ, but when I'm using it, to do that specific thing, I would require this new feature so that I can be able to use it. And for us, it really started with, we were building cameras that were deployed in the woods to monitor wildlife. And our user, or the expectation from us, from our user, is that they were only doing exactly that. So deploying these devices in the wood. And then when we brought the cellular connectivity to it, we saw into our platform that there was so much more other application, like 50% of the time, the user that bought the device was doing anything else in another vertical than what we were currently selling the device for. So that's how it got started.
That's amazing, because I assume that you were marketing it very specifically to this one core application. But even despite a very targeted marketing base, your customers were able to almost innovate themselves and think, hey, I see that product, but I could figure out another use that could apply to my situation.
Totally, totally. So they bought the device, for example, for the wildlife, and then they brought it home and say, hey, maybe I could use that on my farm to monitor my cattle or monitor my water tank level. Or I can bring that on my construction site or the job site onto our work to secure the whole building and the whole place. And we were amazed by this sort of innovation coming in for the client. And that really starts when you start asking them, what is it that they really want to do? Or what is it that they're really doing with this device?
That's an important key step that you mentioned there, because you didn't just sell these and magically you found out that they were selling for all these applications. What was the critical step that you took in order to realize that more than 50% of your customers were using the product in alternative ways?
Yeah, well, we actually surveyed the customer base because once we were able to get them on the app and get them connected, we were able to filter them out through our AI and try to bucketize what was the use cases. And from that bucketization, we were so amazed that it was not what we thought it was. That at first we thought it was our AI that was not doing the job correctly. And then we said, well, maybe we should just pick up the phone or start to contact directly the client. And so we did. Obviously, we've asked them the permission to do so. But once we've done that, they told us all these things that they were doing or monitoring with our cameras because of that feature or that other feature with the solar panel, the battery, and all these things. We're like, wow, what an amazing discovery. So now how do we repackage a product that does sort of answer this more vertical agnostic approach and try to 15x, or at least at that point, we just thought we found something. We didn't expect that it would 15x the top line.
Wow, that's amazing. I want to break down a little bit more in detail what you meant by actually reaching out directly, because you tried one approach and then you tried a more customer-centric approach and reaching out to them. And I think this is really important for hardware startups, because if this is your first product as a hardware startup, presumably you start selling a low amount of units. Maybe it's only a few hundred units, eventually maybe a few thousand units. But at the early days, you really only are selling a small amount to begin with. So it's really easy for you to reach out and contact those customers because you have the time to reach out to them at that phase in your business, especially. So how was it that you decided to actually reach out? And what really is the key technique here to extract what that information is?
Well, the first thing is that we sold about 10,000 devices the first year. So it was like, well, we cannot, because we're a very small team at the beginning, like, you're three. So like, it's funny from that aspect, if you want to keep growing, you cannot just pick up the phone and call the 10,000 people. But we did some sampling and we went to these clients that had a certain amount of unit or that were using it for very, well, unsuspectful, or at least we didn't expect them to use it for that. So we sort of like cut the whole 10,000 into very small pieces of what we would call customer persona. So we gave them names, so like Joe Construction. And spawning from Joe Construction was the typical user that we assessed was using the device for construction. Then we went on and we've called these maybe four or five clients that we've assigned as Joe Construction. And we've asked them either through the phone or we've sent an email saying, can we have a discussion with you? And then they accept. And then we've contacted them. And then through that, they basically gave us some information, and in exchange, we did send them the first line of product that we have so that they could test really what they gave us as advice and revert back very quickly with us. So that's how we've done things.
That's a really great approach. So you sampled, because you're at the point there, especially with 10,000 people, you couldn't reach out to all of them. So you started to sample them, and it gives you a very good idea of your customer base. But you took it one step further. Of the people that actually responded, you then sent them the specific device that you eventually developed for that exact use case. That's brilliant. You're almost teeing up your next customer from your previous customer and creating lifetime value right away. Yep. But as well, you're then monitoring that feedback very closely.
Exactly. Well, at that point, we knew, like, you can imagine what the client's going to do with your product. Unless you are very specifically yourself in that field, well, you need not to assume that you know things about what it is that they truly want to do with your device. We have this saying at Vosker where assumption kills, okay? So don't assume anything, just really ask questions. So that's how we've done things from that perspective.
What percentage of the people that you reached out to, so these were customers, you reached out to a sample size, what percentage of those actually responded back to you?
I'd say it was less than half. And of course, when we approached them at first, we did send them like, look, if you want to help us out, we're going to give you a discount on all these things. So you got to, you know, put some sugar on the thing so that like they do respond accordingly positively. But I'd say it was maybe less than 50% or something like that. But it was enough. It was enough. Like, you don't need to talk to 10,000 people. Maybe a couple of great user or great use cases will do the trick. But you need to figure out which are the one that really will talk to you and will tell you the honest truth. And sometimes as entrepreneur, we're so proud of what we've built that we don't really want to listen to, well, the client and what the client is saying. And to us as three co-founders, I was the one like picking up these information and bringing back to the other guy who are developing the product and say, no, Danny, this is not how it works. The product is already good this way, you know, so you have to be able to take a step back and accept the comment from the client.
How did you proceed to develop niche products for these different verticals? And was that important in addressing those specific markets or new markets that you had now identified with those customers?
100%. So it first comes down to the hardware. But what we've wanted to do first is, how do we take a product that was much more a niche into a specific vertical that we were marketing directly to those and get out of that vertical and then try to assess, well, how many verticals do we want to attack with the same sort of product line that would ensure not specifically 100% of all the needs, but at least 80%, like the 80-20% rule of, let's say, three verticals so that we have an expansion of the total addressable market without diluting too much and trying to design something that's going to go to Mars. You need to like narrow things down and be focused as much as possible. So we've identified the bucket of like construction site monitoring and agricultural monitoring into two buckets. And we know that there are like 12 use cases in each one of these buckets. But if you open up these 12, what product would fit most likely like 80% of the needs? And that's how we try to package things up.
That's great. So you weren't creating a new product for every vertical. You were looking at verticals and putting them into a batch, essentially taking those batches and saying, okay, what features is consistent across 80% for the users within these sub batches?
Yep.
Then you develop the product that works for them so that you don't have to go crazy on having like such an extensive product line until you actually start to address scale. And I imagine if you start getting some very specific niches that could be a big deal, you then maybe will do a product for those as you start to identify, you know, a certain large total addressable market within a very specific category.
Exactly. You can always redo the products when they are successful. You know, like you can always improve on them and bring new iteration. But like to go back to your MVP, if you've designed an MVP that's selling and that the client are giving you feedback and that's good enough so that you've got a business case that can grow on top of that, then move on, okay? And after that, try to reiterate and improve it, but you need to get that first. Otherwise, you will spend quite a lot of time and money and effort maybe on something that's not going to bring any value to you nor the customer.
It's interesting, you know, you keep mentioning this concept of MVP, even though you guys are now north of $150 million per year in sales, it still is a factor when thinking about design, engineering, prototyping, et cetera. You really have to look at your product and say, what is the next logical step? You're not trying to be everything to everybody from day one. You're trying to climb the ladder and grow the product base at a reasonable pace. I also like how you mentioned, which kind of ties with this concept of MVP, is make your first product successful. And when that's successful, then make your second one and ensure that's successful and so on. You can then piggyback on those, right? Again, focus 100%. On MVP, make it a success, and then continue to evolve and iterate progressively as you do so.
Well, it is still true to this day. We are heading towards 200 mil and the assumption kills type of thinking is still there. So every one of the sub vertical that we're trying to get into and be specific, we first start with an MVP. We know it's not going to be perfect and we're blunt enough to tell it to the client, look, it's not a perfect solution. Please tell us, give us ratings, give us what you want to do or what is it that you want us to improve. And you've got us working very hard to get there and try to attach or build something that's going to suit your need. But that's always about an MVP. That's not going to be 100% what it should be at the beginning, but it doesn't matter because you're really truly assessing and bringing a solution to someone that didn't have that solution prior to you getting there at first.
That's amazing. Are there any last kind of tips or tricks for startups that are going through this scaling phase of diversifying their product line or starting even just to listen to customers to figure out what their expansion should look like next?
I think that there are so many. I think it's spawned from the fact that there is a lot of success in our story, but it also spawns from every failure that we face down. So even though something may seem a failure, like the first product line that you're selling, it's not selling that much, you may be very close to getting something that's absolutely incredible, just like us. And so you need to keep pushing forward. Whatever happens, either the fall, just like step up again and try again. There's something afterward if you really improve.
That's powerful advice. I mean, failure, if you use it as a tool and as a learning lesson, can be very powerful in your journey, especially in long term. So I'm glad that you addressed that because the reality is it's true. You know, especially even on this podcast, we have so many people that have had such huge successes, But if you talk to all of them unanimously, they had failures and troubles along the way as well. But the key difference was they leveraged those failures. They learned from them. They almost got excited about them and they used those to figure out what went wrong and how are they going to come back swinging that much harder and that much more accurately and correctly based on, if you're doing it the way that you're talking about, Danny, using your customers as the primary guiding light to the next versions or next elements of success of your product.
100%. It's hard on the ego, but it's nice on the resolve. So that's what counts. That's what matters.
Where can listeners go to learn more about the cameras that you guys have and the ever-expanding lineup that you're producing?
Well, Vosker.com is the best place to see all our product line and see how the business is evolving. And I encourage anyone who wants to do remote area monitoring to at least get on this site. They're going to find out something that may solve their problem.
Danny, much appreciated. I'll put the links below for anyone who wants to click through as well. Thanks for all your words of wisdom today on scaling up, especially listening to your customers and figuring out how to actually diversify through your existing customer base, listening to what they have to say so you can figure out what your next hot product vertical is going to be. Danny, thanks again, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Cayman. It's been a pleasure.
Great. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Product Startup Podcast. If you found some value in the show, please do us a huge favor and hit the like button and subscribe. If you have any questions, guest suggestions, or anything else, feel free to reach out to us anytime at our email, podcast@macodesign.com. This show is hosted by Kevin Macko, North America's leading expert on product development for hardware startups. And the podcast is produced by Macko Design, the original firm providing end-to-end consumer product development services tailored specifically to hardware startups, small manufacturers, and inventors. Take your product from idea to store shelves at MakkoDesign.com. That's MakkoDesign.com. Thanks for joining, and see you again soon.